This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 7th of May. Excuse the poor editing, Greg's not well, so you're stuck with me. But let's get on with the news.
Hi, I'm Steve, VK6SJ, with this week's episode of Did You Know? Last week we looked at how a simulcast system with multi-sites on a single frequency pair worked from a base transmission perspective. Key principle was how we align all transmitters such that any station receiving that signal will receive any signals at a similar signal level in phase, hence negating interference at the receiver. One thing we didn't touch on was the difference between analog and digital modes of transmission. If we use analog FM for transmission, we can only rely on the accuracy of transmission and tailoring of coverage to negate interference. Most digital protocols also have mechanisms to combat bit error rate caused loss, and bit error rate is the first symptom of a less than simulcast reception. This means that most digital modes of transmission will produce a more robust network than any analog system. Now that P25 networks in Australia have been used in public safety for a few decades, we're starting to see older generation P25 repeaters on the market at reasonable prices, and mobile radios as well. And I know there are a couple of repeaters or beacons in Perth capable of using P25 already. This would need to be weighed against the fact that almost every ham in Perth has an analog radio capable of being used in a 70 centimetre band. It may be that it's worth putting up with a slightly less robust network in exchange for a greater percentage of the community having access to it. Next issue in a network like this is that it's not just the transmitters that need to be in sync. The audio being rebroadcast from every site must also be presented to the network in sync. This means that the backhaul network used to bring audio paths together needs to be highly reliable and with latencies in the order of 20 microseconds or so. This pretty much precludes the use of the internet as a reliable medium. The strength of the internet is that it's a large mesh network, but this also means that the latency is highly variable due to the path being taken also being variable. The fact that we're exploring a network that is made up of lots of small coverage microcells also means that using dedicated links between sites is also quite feasible. We could also look at possibly using other networks around, such as or similar to Freenet. Not sure if that's still a thing, but I'm sure you get my drift. A simple Wi-Fi point-to-point or mesh network would work well for this application, providing the links are planned well and it isn't riding on the cusp of its coverage, which will also generate latency. Now, what about the receive end of the network? We need a means of picking only the best received signal and then presenting that to all base stations for retransmission. Two ways of doing this. We could use a central voting arbitrator. This would only work for an analog network and also needs to be as quick as the latency to be useful. This also means that we need to get that audio back to a central point, which could also be problematic. The other way of managing this is to use a digital backhaul with distributed voting, i.e. with no central voter. Each site can then send an RSSI measurement with each packet, and all sites can choose the packet with the highest RSSI and only retransmit those packets. The downside to this is that with no standard for this style of backhaul, we either need to settle on a single brand of repeater, or as a community, we develop our own protocol, loaded into a box that each repeater uses. We could also potentially use a combination of both, with the network starting with a common repeater, while a separate box is designed in the background and the network being able to migrate to a more open protocol at a later stage. There are plenty of examples of hams working together to produce a new mode of communication protocol as a collaborative effort, like FT8, for instance. And to be honest, I think Perth could use a project like this to bring the community closer together. So what brands could we use to look at to start a project like this? First one that comes to mind for me is Motorola. I suspect there are a few hams in the community who might see the first generation of Motorola P25 repeaters being shipped off to the dump with a hammer embedded in them. I think there have been quite a few radio network refresh projects within the public safety space over the past 5 to 10 years. The network that sparked my interest in this about 10 years ago was built in exactly this way. Another option is the RF technology Eclipse 2, which are in use already in a couple of repeaters in Perth, and at least one government department is using them, and I've already seen and purchased a few at auction here in Perth. These actually are very well suited to the application as they can be connected in a completely distributed form factor out of the box, and have designed and or installed a few commercial networks using this model. I think our own local brand of transceiver from Spectra Engineering could also do a similar task. Maybe rather than looking for old stuff, we approach a manufacturer and negotiate a price for a common model of radio that just does the job. to fund it. Look at crowdfunding options, or clubs could look at grant options from places like Lotto and the big property developers and the like. Crowdfunding means that a commuter might drop in a few dollars into potential sites along the route to work. You get 50 people doing the same thing and you can build a repeater. So, interesting concept. Why not bring it up at your next club meeting for discussion? Get your club management to start engaging with other clubs. See if you can design a small network within your club membership and start experimenting with the concept. Start with just getting two transmitters in sync and move forward from there. The fun is actually as much in the journey as it is in the use of the end product. Well, thanks for listening again. This has been Steve Kennedy, VK6SJ, with another episode of Did You Know?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to today's edition of Roy's Helpline, this Sunday, the 7th of May, 2023. My name is Terry Clinch, VK6 Lima Tango Charlie. I'm standing in for Roy while he's recuperating at home. He's doing very well, I believe. Good morning there, Roy. Hope you're enjoying the fresh air and the sunshine. Until Roy's back on deck and fully recovered, please direct your item for Roy's helpline to me. And my email address is clinchterry@gmail.com. That's Charlie Lima, India, November, Charlie Hotel, Tango Echo Romeo, Romeo Yankee, that's one word, @gmail.com. Okay, on to today's items for sale. Item one, a Barrett 950, that's 125-watt HF transceiver with a Barrett 2019 automatic tuning antenna. It includes all the Austravel safety net frequencies, as well as the main SSB segments of the HF, popular HF amateur bands, and they're programmed at 1 kHz increments. Also, we have an old tower PC with a mouse, with a keyboard and monitor, and with the Barrett 950 programming software and operating system. All that was for $1,000, and that's firm. $1,000 firm. Phone Stuart at Victor Kilo 6, Mike Kilo, VK6MK for any further information. And Stuart's number is 0475-984711. Okay, 0475-984711. Okay, second item is a Kenwood TS830S with a matching Kenwood power supply, a matching Kenwood ATU, a matching Kenwood BFO, and a matching Kenwood desk mic. Comes with a straight Morse key, a rotator control box with cables, and the asking price there is $1,000 or best offer. Ideal if you're a new ham starting out, because I think that's a very good price there. So contact Peter for this one, VK6 India Sugar, VK6IS, or VK6 India Sierra, and his number is 0468 321 091, 0468 321 091. Okay, that's the two items we have this week. So please have your items to me by noon Friday, and please include Roy's helpline in the subject field. That's it for today. Thanks for listening, and 7-3's all.
This is VK6 Amateur Radio News, VK6 ARN.
You've heard on the national news about the passing of VK6LZ. In the past week or so, so many VK6s have asked about if I'm putting anything up for the news. So here's a quick sort of potted history of the aftermath of when the Bastons arrived in town in 1980. Back then, we essentially knew no one. The WIA VK6 divisional meeting was one of our first points of call, and Dad was co-opted to the council as treasurer at that meeting. My first mention in Amateur Radio magazine was in 81, when then-president Bruce VK6 Oscar wrote in his annual VK6 report that Don Lorimer continues to do a splendid job catering for our supper, now with a young offsider, Mark. One meeting, when Don was away, Mark did it all on his own. showing great initiative by commandeering the Institution of Engineers tea, the fury of the caretaker was placated by much crossing of his palm with silver. In 82, Mum took over from Chris Stoddard's divisional book sales office, and that year both Mum and Dad enrolled at Mount Morley Technical College to take the AOCP full theory course run by David Cooch, VK6 Whiskey Tango. Special permission was sought and received after a delay for me to also attend, though it took so long to get permission that I only attended the second half of the course, while also being a Year 8 student at high school. I can't swear to it, but I'm probably the youngest ever TAFE student in WA. The upshot of the course was that there were two passes and one semi-near miss, with me getting a little more than 50%, not too bad for only 6 months of a year's study and not having done the novice course first, but I digress. Out of the exam, KLZ became VK6 KLZ, and then worked on his 10 words a minute before upgrading to LZ, and Mum, of course, gained VK6 ZLZ. For many in radio scouting, it is scouting that gets them into radio. For me, it was the reverse. With my family being in radio, it was radio that got me doing JOTA and then saw me become a Cub. And the Bastons did many JOTAs over the next quarter of a century plus, be it at Hillview, Quiriding, Riverton, Wireless Hill, Mangidal Scout Training Centre, down at Wayland Bay, at the old Pax Hill Guide Camp, or in 1988 at the Wanneroo Showgrounds, taking our turn with the special event call sign VI88WA for the Bicentenary, with both Mum and I taking turns at peak usage times as JOTAnet control for the OSSAT link that year to Sydney and Melbourne. Because somebody needed to be the responsible adult in the room. Well, you know how unruly JOTA can get, and this time it was a special case for the use of a repeater on JOTA, using the link of OSSAT through satellite to Melbourne and Sydney. This really wasn't done back then. Repeaters were off limits anyway. You know, hey, in many ham households, there is a room, perhaps a shed, that is devoted to the radio cave or ham shack. In the Baston household, there was the shack, the office, well, master bedroom, but who's counting? The laundry was taken over by books when Mum took over the bookshop, something that we didn't just take out to every monthly meeting, but also took on the road. The radio rally to two separate ham fests in the northwest. When members of the VK6 council, including LZ, ZLZ, YL and MY, flew the City Slickers flag out in the red dust of the Great Northwest in 83 and 86, first at Yampai Gorge and then at Yarralula Station. On a stop-off on the way back in 86, we went through Exmouth and toured the VLF, and that stopped seeing both LZ and myself inspect the Exmouth repeater, VK6REX, in situ at the top of Northwest Cape's Tower Zero, some 380 metres aloft. You'd look down and you'd see ants crawling on the ground, and then do a double take and think, hang on, no, I'm this far up, that's 9 ant, it's a triple semi-trailer, and as far as crawling is concerned, it's doing about 110 kilometres an hour. So, back to the house. Parts of the dining room were also taken up for a while with the VK6 valve bank. Over the years at Science House at the Institute of Engineers in West Perth, we would attend two meetings a month, the general, with my parents, either one or both, as counsellors, and myself, helping out the tea boy, Don Lorimer, and then, of course, the committee meeting 2 weeks later, which I was attending as an observer, also known as free childcare. Bruce, VK6 Oscar Oscar, 1 year wrote in the VK6 Notes presidential report for, it was 1984, that the Christmas meeting was arguably the best of recent years, and they have all been very good since we decided to move out of Science House on the third Tuesday of December. It was organised, almost unaided, by the redoubtable Baston family, Cliff VK6LZ, Christine VK6ZLZ, and Mark, at the West Rail Centre. The Department of Communications state manager remarked that it was the most enjoyable he had attended. We've travelled the state, not just the Northwest. The council made a trip to the Southern Electronics Group in Albany. Some WAG members took to Penguin Island for the John Moyle, and a 4 terahertz contact was made with Carnet. Well, okay, that was us flashing a torch and somebody in Carnet flashing their headlights. And it was kind of Morse code, and it was kind of legit, but we did have 2 meter backup at the same time, so I'm not sure we got points in the John Moyle for that contact. But anyway, we've also helped to build the Busselton repeater site and Caddaby back in the day as well. Trips to Rotto for the proposed repeater there were also things done by us over the years. We've been active WAG members for, like, just the longest time. Okay, Will and Trevor, you guys beat us by a country mile, but I know you understand all too well just what a long time feels like. Now, Dad couldn't really fathom being 90. He said, as late as just a few days before his passing, that he didn't feel like 90. Not that I'd be really all that sure what 90 was supposed to feel like. From my perspective, I'm slowly coming to terms with just how much I've been a part of this family endeavour, and I've always seen myself as, well, just the harmonic. He was not just a HF rebroadcaster for the news, but for many years he was also net control for the WAG technical and general net. It was noted in a letter to Dad from the WAG to commemorate his 90th birthday in March that he had been a stalwart of the club and had held various positions and had been site manager for 6 RAP and generally put into most aspects of the club. It will take a while for any WAG Life member to reach the 90 milestone, and in the words of the current president, I paraphrase, will probably not surpass his level of contribution to the club. Well, kind words indeed. Thanks, Anthony. I hope you've enjoyed a quick walk down memory lane. If you've walked alongside us over these years or learnt something of the history of just one of the families in the history of VK6, I have to say it's been a pleasure to be his harmonic. Valet Cliff Baston, VK6LZ. If perhaps you'd like to take a deep dive into other departed giants of VK6's past, let me know through feedback around the traps. You know, I might look into doing a series. We've lost so many of the pillars, the towers of amateur radio of my youth. I'm sure there'd be fertile ground for a number of these at least. 7-3 from Mark, VK6, FIVE.
Hello, WA Hams. I am Jenny, VK6JEN. And I'm talking today about the PL Amateur Radio Group Winlink project and update thereon. So we have 2 current remote mail server gateways in Western Australia. There is mine, VK6JN, on 40 metres using VARA HF modem. And we have VK6HLY, also VARA HF, on 80 metres. PARG is in the process of implementing a club remote mail server gateway, and this will likely be VK6ARG on 20 metres, 40 metres, and possibly 80 metres, also using VARA HF, possibly also RDOP, which is a different modem program. So what is Winlink? Essentially, it's a way of sending data communications in the form of messages that are like emails over a ham radio system. So essentially a radio, an interface between a computer and the radio, and a modem capability using, you know, a soft modem like VARA HF, VARA FM, RDOP, which is another modem program, or a hard modem, a physical modem like PACTA. Some of you might have heard of PACTA. So essentially it is a short to medium to long range email communications, essentially within the, you know, you can use UHF, VHF, HF. So if you can communicate those distances on those by voice, and you can do it with data. So they are like email communications. You can send text, you can send smallish emails, about 100 kilobytes. The beauty of the system is that it is a robust communication process and it's not reliant on the internet or being within phone range. Some people use it around the world. Yachtsmen can use this system to communicate with the outside world. They can get weather reports sent to them. They can send position updates so people know where they are. Same again with some outback travellers. You know, don't have phone range. Can talk to the outside world. People can talk to them, etc., etc. There are remote mail systems, remote mail servers, essentially on every continent except Antarctica. There is the two in WA that I mentioned earlier. There is a smattering, a couple dozen, on the east coast of Australia, generally between, on frequencies, 10 metres, 15, 20, 40, 80 metres, thereabouts, usually on HF. In other places like the United States, they also use VHF and UHF. PARG runs practice sessions at 5:30 on Wednesday afternoons. We usually run at 7,050 kilohertz on 40 metres. However, if anyone wants to use a different band, we can do that, and we run those sessions for anyone who wants to use WinLink, learn how to use WinLink, practice using their WinLink, whatever. And yeah, so essentially my aim is to help the WA ham community get into WinLink if they want to, and to help people practice using the capability, because I think it's really good capability because you're not reliant on being able to hear someone when they're speaking. It comes through as digital data that you can read on the screen, and it's very robust.
Jenny, am I right to say that the PARG website has got information about WinLink?
Yes, there is. There is, along with the worldwide WinLink website, which is winlink.org, winlink.org, the Peel website, Peel Amateur Radio Group website, has several pages, one of which talks about my weekly practice sessions on Wednesdays, and there is also another one which I have a write-up of the process which I followed to set up my gateway, you know, what programs I'm using, what radio I'm using, etc., etc.
Hello listeners, Dennis, VK6AKR from the WAVHF group with an item on fox hunting, aka radio direction finding. I talked last year about an activity day construction session of tape measure Yagis, thanks to member Dave, VK6KV. In deference to one of the major suppliers of materials, we call them Bunnings Yagis, and they are great for field work, easily transported in backpacks, etc. Dave designed an Arduino Uno Shield, which, with software modified by Dave and Mark, VK6EZ, outputs Morse code idents and even simple tunes to a handheld such as a Baofeng or a Woxen. This gives fox capability on 2 metres or 70 centimetres according to the handheld in use. Peel Amateur Radio Group's Peter, VK6PBS, and Jen, VK6JEN, are establishing a well-equipped fox hunting setup using almost identical tape measure Yagis and commercial controllers driving Baofeng handhelds. Peter, some may recall, presented on this topic at PargFest earlier in the year. He has been in touch with us to exchange views on frequency allocation, etc. There is a strong possibility that our clubs will liaise to conduct fox hunts, which could even involve scouts who have their own fox hunting kits. Anyone interested in this, please contact either PARG or ourselves, the WAVHF group. If there's sufficient interest, the WAVHF group would be open to organising a special activity day for operators wanting to construct their own Bunnings Yagis. We could supply materials at a reasonable fee, and you could enjoy a cuppa and a chat too. Peter and Jen may offer something similar. For bonus points, that Arduino Shield that Dave designed, with appropriate software it can output RTTY sequences, something that is useful for proving that your RTTY setup is functional. As always, if you are in the Applecross area on the first or third Saturdays of each month, you're welcome to call in to Wireless Hill from midday, have a cuppa and chat with our club members. Best to check our Facebook page just to make sure that an activity day has not been cancelled or postponed due to circumstances beyond our control. Very rare, but it does happen. Thanks for listening. This is Dennis, VK6AKR, for the WAVHF group.
Thanks to everyone who contributed this week. and hopefully we'll be back to normal next week. I'm Bob VK6PIP, and that was News West.